And we are, we're going to start again. Amar Mar. And to find Amar Mar, go across Marba, Tyson's Marba, and come down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. In the middle of the line is Amar Mar. It should be 17b1. That's what I think. Amar Mar. Eben Ivri, Ivan is a Ben Vein, Ivan is a Bas. And Eben Ivri works for the son, doesn't work for the daughter, anonymously. Tana Rabbanon. Vavotcha Shei Shonim, Mechobaloi the Irish. He will serve you for 7 years, serve you, not your inheritors. Ata Imer, Mechobaloi the Irish, Aina Mechobaloi the Ben. Now, the Bryce is using the term Yirish because the Bryce does not say Mechobaloi the Ben. If the halacha would be, it doesn't work for the son, so the Braiser should have said, he doesn't work for your son, and then we would have understood that if you don't work for the son, you don't work for any other inheritor. By using the term Yirish as opposed to Ben, the Braiser is insinuating that there's a difference between a son and another inheritor. Because why would the Torah talk inheritors? It would talk son. The Braiser, I'm talking about the Braiser, the Tana who wrote the Braiser. If he meant that the Eved Ivri doesn't work for the son, he would have said so. And on my own, I would have figured out, if he don't work for the son, he don't work for anybody else. By writing L'chavaloi the Yirish, he seems to be saying a general rule and leaving the son out. That would have been the simpler way of saying it. So the Bryce is asking, how do I know that Allah is true? Maybe he does work for the son. Dr. Gemara, K'shuayim is Shei Shanim Yavoid. Another pasuk seems to say Shei Shanim Yavoid without saying work for you.
That's talking about the son?
No, it's talking about Eved Ivri working for the master. And it doesn't say 6 years he should work for you. It says 6 years he should work, which seems to indicate he doesn't even work, even if he's not working for you.
If he dies.
If you're not around, which the person's not around, we don't talk in second term. The person's not around because he passed on. So we have a contradiction in Psukim. One pasuk seems to stress that he should only work for the guy who bought him, and one pasuk seems to say he works for others. So because of the contradiction, Hari Leben Amar, Amani Mikhaim Balatcha Shei Shonim L'chav V'loi L'Yirish. So because we have a contradiction in Sukkim, with one pasuk indicating that he works for others, and one pasuk saying he doesn't work for others, so the compromise we draw is, one relative is exempt. And by Svara, we're picking the son as being the exempt. The Torah didn't say a word about a son. We decided that if he's going to work for any one relative, it is the son. That was our decision. Rashi. Zuck to Rashi. Yes.
It's actually not exactly like that. What's done, what seems to be done, is one sees what the practice is. And then that shows you if it works for the son or not the daughter.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not sure what you're asking me.
No,
it doesn't make a difference. Because the Gemara is going to ask a question in a minute. How do I know it's a son, not a brother? So when the Gemara finishes its discussion, we'll prove that the Torah meant the son.
Many of these constructions which are taken from...
I'll tell you what, if you wait for 10 lines, might take care of the problem.
Okay.
Rashi. So Trashi, yeah, all the way back up. Yavoid milaksim yavotcha. Okay. Frektik and barvaita. Umar Ros, this is still the Brisa talking. Umar Ros, the rabbis is haben ulohit yisach. Why are you saying that the one relative who could work for is the son? Why not the brother? Maybe the closest relative for this halacha is a person's brother, not a person's son. Why did you decide that the guy works for the son, not for the brother? How do you know that? Zuck the Gemara, let's look around the Torah and see who is considered the closer relative. Mar Banias HaBen, we include a son, she came to come talk to L'yodo Ulazdei Achuzam. For two halachas, we find that the son replaces his father. One is by Yod. Person buys an Amavriya. He can either marry her himself or marry her off to his son. The Torah says that. Doesn't say to his brother. Obviously, the Torah is considering the son the closer relationship. The Raya is the Torah said it by Yiyon. The second halacha was the Zdei Achuzah. The halacha is as follows. A person donates a field to Hekdesh that belongs to him, that he inherited from father and grandpa and great-grandpa and all the way back. It's called the Zdeachuza. Now, he can buy it back, and that'll be fine. If he doesn't buy it back and somebody else redeems it from Hekdesh, that person at Yoivo goes to Kahanim forever. That means if Reuven donates his field to Hekdesh, he has an option. He can either buy it back from Hekdesh, or if he doesn't buy it back from Hekdesh, Hekdesh puts it on the market. And if somebody else buys it back from Hekdesh, it goes to Kahanim and Yoivo. And this person says goodbye for it forever and ever. There's one exception. If the person who redeems it is the person's son, then it goes back to the father in Yoivo, not to Kahanim. If the person that redeems it is the father's brother, then it does not go back to the brother, it goes back to the Kahanim. So we see again that the one we consider the closest relative is a son over a brother. Those are two rayas, Yud and Zayachuza. Frak the Gemara Adarabba. My Bani Yisra Oksh can come talk us Okim Liyubim. When it comes to Yibum, a brother is the one that does Yibum, not a son. So we see clearly that a brother is closer. Zuck the Gemara Klum Yash Yibum Malkam Shane Ben? That's not a question. There's no Yibum if there's a son. Adarabba. That's the greatest raya, that the son is a greater relative. You don't need Yibum if there's a son. Yash Yibet ain't Yibum. You can't prove anything from Yibum. Of course it's the brother that does Yibum. Who's supposed to do Yibum? The son? Well, if there's a son, there's no Yibum. So therefore, we've proven that the closest relative is the son. Therefore, going back to our halacha of who should the Eved Ivri work for, if the Torah is making an exception for one relative, proven from all these cases is that the closest relative is the son, therefore it's the son.
Father dies, and he has money left over. He has a brother, and he has a son. Who gets the Yerusha?
The son.
That a raya that...
That's Tyson's discussion. I want to make an announcement again. Rabbi Cohen was mechavim to Tyson's... No, I want to make sure Ilam knows that Rabbi Cohen was mechavim to Tyson's discussion.
That's
even a question. That's what Tyson's asked discussion. So Tyson's answers, and again, you have to understand what Tyson means. Tyson says, we're trying to find things that apply to a son and not to a brother. And therefore, that would prove that the son is the bigger relationship. If it applies to both, and the question is just who goes first, that's not the proof we want. Let me try to explain what Tysus means. Both son and brother inherit. The order doesn't necessarily prove that the relationship works that way. Could be both inherit. They're both inheritors. It's only when you have things worked by one and not by the other, that's a stronger proof. We had a choice of one, and we rejected the brother because of the son. The Gemara feels that's a better proof than when both are there and it's just a question of order. Again, this is the Tysus Marba towards the end. That's what Tysus asks. That's what Tysus answers. And again, for those who joined us late...
No, I don't... Rabbi, I've got interest. I've already...
Go on. It's on tape. Anybody wants to hear or ask a question, listen to the tape. Yes.
I back up a minute to a more general question. Why does the Gemara include flesh and bone? I could figure that one out.
I don't know. Your question is going to be even stronger in a minute, so let's see the Gemara in a minute. Fred? Yes.
Is there a type of erusin between the Adam and the
Yisrael? We're not talking about Yud now. Let's not get off the subject. We're trying to figure out who the Eved Ivri works for. All we went to say is the fact that he can do Yud to a son, not to a brother, proves that the son is the bigger relationship. That's all we wanted. We're not getting... You want to involve in Yud? We're going to be talking for Yud for a blot and a half. So we'll cover Yud in its entirety. At this point, we have not discussed Yud. Let's not move away what we're discussing. Frank the Gemara, why are you answering that there's no Yibum when there's a son? Why don't you just say it's two against one? We brought you two proofs that a son is bigger than a brother. Yiyud and Seyachuza. You came back with one from Yibum. It's two against one. What was your question to begin with? Why did we need to answer that there's no Yibum if there's a son? Why don't we just say, what's your question? It's two against one. That's what I wanted to tell Dr. Schwab, that his question will be even schwerer after the Gemara asked its question. I mean, the Gemara obviously feels that would have been the simpler answer. Don't ask me a question from one, but I told you to. Don't even ask it. The typically, the Hokatarti Vachachado. It's two against one. What would you have of me now? And for the Gemara, Steyachuza, not me, my Pirchu, the Gnavkalai. Because the Torah never said by Steyachuza, if the son redeems it, it goes back to the father. It just said one relative is exempt. And the way we figured it out, again, is because the son has Yiyun. So it's really one against one. Steyachuza is never written. It's Yiyun where the Torah wrote brother, not the son, not brother. Steyachuza was that longer that we said that if somebody donates a field to Hegdish and somebody else redeems it, it goes to the Kahanim by Yevul. If he redeems it, it stays by him. And if his son redeems it, it goes back to his father. He is the exemption of anybody else in the world. And not a brother. So we proved from there, a son is closer than a brother. It never says it by a son. We figured out it's by a son from the same thing, from Yud. So it's really one against one. Yud versus Yibum. Therefore, the Gemara had to answer that Yibum is not a proof. It's not two against one. Steyachuz is not written. If Zayachuzah were written, then the person would have never asked the Kasha. Yid and Zayachuzah is two, and Yibum is one. But Zayachuzah is never written the Farish in the Torah. We only know Zayachuzah from the same way we know here. So Mamela, it's really one against one. Yid shows a son is bigger, and Yibum shows a brother is bigger. So we have to answer you that Yibum doesn't show it. Couldn't answer two against one, because there's no two. Because we mentioned Zayachuzah. Zayachuzah is learned out from the same way we learn out here. So Mamela, it's not a source. It's the same way. The Yibum is over Yibum because Yibum doesn't apply when there's a son. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, and Rashi is going to explain this halacha. Shekain kam tachas avav liyada. Now Rashi is going, where does the son take over his father? Shemiyayin amavriya bekesef nasa. He can marry an amavriya using the money of the sale. Vein tzvicha kedusha achar, and she doesn't need any other kedushin. Tetziv. Then with no year, don't know if he marries her off to his son. Well, the Zeyachuza, Hamagdish Zeyachuzasai, somebody who donates a field Achuzasai. Now, I'm just trying to point out what we're saying with the word Achuza. People can own fields in two different ways. They either inherit it in the family, or they bought it. That's not a Zeyachuza. That's a field they bought. The right is that Yaivo, the field they bought, goes back to the original owner. So the halacha that we're going to say now doesn't apply to a field that was bought. Because a field that was bought doesn't really belong to the buyer. It's a rental, because that yaivo goes back. So therefore, this halacha that we're going to write now is by Zeyachuza, person who owns the field, which means he inherited it, right? He inherited it, and he's going to his family, and he donated it. Paida base kur zerachay mesayrim. He redeems a kur, where you plant a chaymer is a kur of sayrim, where you plant the amount of barley. The chamishim shekel kesef. The Torah set a price. It is not the value of the land, subjective. Every base kur of plantable land is redeemed for 50 shekel kesef for 49 years. Prorated per year per month of field. Vilmaipada, if he didn't redeem it. Umachra gizber la'achar, and the gizber sold it to somebody else. And yachala yisataisam. You never redeem it again. Shiaitim yad lekeich b'yayvu. And when it leaves the lekeich b'yayvu, mischalekis l'kahanim. It gets split up to the kahanim. Avlim lakha b'naisha makdish. But if his son buys it, any yaitim yad b'yayvu. Doesn't leave his family on yayvu l'schalek l'kahanim. The Hoki Tanya Be'erchen. Im lo yago yigal es hasada bailam. If the owner does not redeem the field, the macher es hasada gizber. The gizber sells this field the achar to somebody else. We dash an achar v'loy leben. And the brayse asks, "Ay einai elo lach v'loy laach? How do I know the exception is for the son? Maybe it's for brother. Shloimer Leish says over there, Leish Achar, Haraach Amr. Ish includes the brother. Mani Mekayim Laachar, Laachar Veloy Leben. And the Braisa asks the same question there. Why are you including a son over a brother? The Gemara gives the same answer. Because for you and ever Evan Ivri. It's interesting, the Gemara uses Evan Ivri here for Se'achuzah, here for Evan Ivri, and there it uses Evan Ivri for Se'achuzah. And the answer is both of them are not sources. They're both derived from Yehud versus Yibum. And Yehud shows a closer relationship than Yibum because Yibum doesn't help. There's no Yibum when there's a son. That's the answer. Frack the Gemara. Time is up trashy. My marbis will ben tre ma'ach. The kai pich of the klum yashibum. Why did you include a son more than a brother? Because yibum doesn't work when there's a son. Well, Mishani, the Gemara asked, but son achuzah is two. And for the Gemara, Mishani, son achuzah, nami my pircha. The ilav high pircha, the klum yashibum. If not of that shlugah, that there's no yibum when there's a son. Like Kaimalon Rebuya ben Tremach, we would not have known a son more than a brother. It doesn't say son or brother there. Comes from Yehud. The only place where the Torah put a son over a brother is by Yehud. And there we ask the same question. We have to give the same answer. Not two against one. It's one against one. The only thing the Torah told us is Yud by a son and Yibum by a brother. Sounds like one against one. The answer is, there's no Yibum if there's a son. So it's not one against one, it's one against zero. Back to the Gemara.
Brother is redeemed if he's considered an Acher?
Yes.
Goes to Kahanim at Yovel.
Sorry? Goes to Kahanim at Yovel, correct. Basically, when a guy donates his Deachuzah, by the way, he's supposed to do it thinking, he realizes that if I don't buy it back, this is gone forever and ever.
Why does he do this?
He wants to give heads. Why do people donate buildings to schools?
But if Peel doesn't have a place you can slap your name on too.
Why do people donate money to Hegdash? Imagine if they came today and they said, we're making an appeal to build a base on Hamikdash. Would you donate?
In the Ovel, it goes to other people than the base Hamikdash. Then maybe I wouldn't donate.
Okay, so then you wouldn't. Maybe some other people would. I hear your point.
It's a limited
donation, I hear. There's a kahana of a very class of the people. What have you heard that Yaiva is going to Reb Chaim Kanievsky? He doesn't take presents. But on Yaiva, he gets the Zdei Achuzam.
If they don't happen to me, it would be fine.
What?
When someone else, an Acher, is pulled to the field, it goes straight to the line.
No, it doesn't. By Yaiva.
But it's only in Yovel that the
pidyon
happens, right?
No.
When
does pidyon
happen?
After a guy donates a Zeachuzah, the next day somebody can come and receive it. Hegdish doesn't need fields.
Oh.
Hegdish puts it out in the market. Before they put it out in the market, they go to the guy who donated it to say, do you want it back? Meaning like this. A guy who donates a Zeachuzah might be doing one of two things. Donating the field, he doesn't want the field ever again. Or donating the value of the field. He really wants to give money. So if he really wants to give money, they offer him the choice. Do you want to buy it back?
It's a voluntary action.
100%. Every part of this is voluntary. The Gemara has a whole sugya. What if nobody redeems it by Yaivu? It's a big machlokes. The only one who has kedima is the owner. Everybody, once you pass the owner, it's open to everybody. Gemara Neichet has a whole sugya. What happens if the owner didn't buy it back and nobody bought it back? Hegdish doesn't want the field, so what happens after the Yaiva? What? That's only if somebody buys it back. That's a big machloikas. And not here. In the Texas area. Yes?
If you want to see the process historically, in medieval Europe, from donations to monasteries and churches, the church owned about one-third of medieval Europe.
Well, they're still the biggest owner, landowner in the world, I think, is the Vatican.
I don't know that, yes or no. They've been considerably disenfranchised.
Let's put it this way. When Derek HaTaira bought the building, they had to get Haskama. It's not owned by anybody local. It's owned by the Vatican. They had to get Haskama.
Derek HaTaira was owned by the Vatican.
That land was owned by the Vatican.
Wow.
The process, you know, it doesn't have to go to Bezen over there. I don't know who makes the decision, but it was, the guy here in Cleveland was the one that made the decision, but he had to check. If they're selling off land that's not owned by anybody, owned by the Vatican. They own every piece of land that's owned by any Catholic institution in the world that belongs to the Vatican.
Well, that's
so this was owned by a Catholic institution.
Do we have Jewish people living in that building now?
Yes, Baruch Hashem, but that's not the point now.
That's Green Road?
Yeah. Amar Ria. Ein Oyved es lo yas haben v'lo yas habas. Amar Ria goes free. Frakti Gemara Menani Mili. Amar Empadad Amar Krav v'afa Moskot Hasakei. Okay, now, the pasuk over there says, Hanaka. Then it says, the parsha that Evan wants to stay past 6 years, we bore him. And at the end it says, "Ta'afla mascha tasekain." Do the same for your maidservant. Now, what are you doing for the maidservant? What is the comparison between the maidservant and what's written before it? So we say, "Hakeisha kasev v'nirta." The Torah compared it to a person bored. Ma nirtza ain't no even loyas haben v'loyas habas. Just like in nirtza, we will learn later on that he doesn't work for neither a son or a daughter. This is an evidentiary that stayed beyond 6 years, and then the master died. He automatically goes free whether he likes it or not, whether there's a son or not a son. We're going to learn that from a pasuk, so it's not necessary for us to figure out now. Right. But that fact is true. So when the Torah said, Afla Mascha, it's telling you for the same thing. Afla Maria, Ein Oyved es lo yas haben v'lo yas habas. So the comparison of an Amma to a Nirtza, which is written right before it, is to tell me that when the master passes on, she goes free like a Nirtza. Frak the Brisa, this is a Brisa. No, I'm sorry, it's a Amira. That's what you learn out from the Chela Mascha Tasekein. We need it for the following brisa. It's going back to the beginning of the parsha that you give the Amma presents. And the brisa asks, maybe the pasuk is saying you can bore an Amma Ria. Here's an Amma Ria. She was sold at 4. She's now 10. She wants to stay on. Ha'evet tells me not an amavriya. Haritzi amar. So it tells me that ritzia does not apply to a girl. So what is the comparison of an amma? So the brayz of lahanik, it's going on hanaka. So the brayz is saying vafla mascha is going on hanaka. So how can you learn out that it means that she's not inherited by the son? And for the Gemara, Kain Dichtav Kro La Mascha Kain, V'Af La Mascha Kain. What's Tasa? My Tasa, Shamet B'nei Tarti, an extra drasha that she doesn't work for the son. She works. She goes free as soon as the master dies. Rashi, Dr. Rashi, Ma Nirtza Ein Oyved Es Haben. Dichtiv Avodai Loi V'Loi Leben. Rashi brings the pasuk, says Avodai. Not to the son. Lahanik, recall the El Miksiv, at the beginning of the parsha, it says Hanukkah. Vadu Ksiv Ritzia. Going back on Hanik. Meaning one drasha from Bavla Moscha Kain, that she goes free when the master dies, and Tasa tells me that she gets Hanukkah. Two drashas from the same pasuk. Rabbi Chanan asked the following question. Now, it's not a kind of question. Again, I don't argue with Rabbi Chanan, but I will say the question. I would not have asked the question. Again, not that that makes a difference what I think. He asked, what's the Havamina that an Amma of Ria would get bored? The reason we bore a person is because he sold himself to an Eved Ivri or because he stole, and now he wants to continue it. Right? You either stole or sold yourself, and now you want to go further than that? So we bore you. An Amma of Ria never sold herself and never stole. Why would we think that we have to bore her ear? Why would we think that? The only reason we bore is a punishment. That's what the Gemara says. We bore the ear, Eisen Shasham al Har Sinai, either by Signaiv or Kalibanez al Avadim, the Halach Macharatzmai, or Stole, gets bored. So what would the Havim mean to be that a woman should get bored? That's Rabbi Chanan's question. I'm sorry?
She loves things.
No.
Beyond her term?
No.
Not allowed to.
Right.
So it's a double concept of begin.
Again. The Gemara had a Havamina that she should. We learn now from the word however that she can't.
She should be able to stay on.
Yes, and get bored. Dr. Bachanan, what's the kasha? Now, I know what I would have answered, but I'll tell you what he answers. He says, this is a riot to the Ramban. Rabbi Schutz mentioned the Ramban here that I wasn't going to mention, that says that an adult lady can sell herself. Chiddush Ramban, Rabbi Shmuel on the bottom says, not found anywhere else that anybody should say this. But Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim says, an adult woman can sell herself. So the Havamin of Ritzia by an Amma, Bachana wants to learn, is according to the Ramban, by an adult woman who did sell herself. So she did violate Kibi Ibn Yisrael Avadim. So therefore there's a Havamin that she should be born, if I need a Miyat to say that a woman can't get born. That's what Bachana says. I would have said that the reason why the Torah bores is wonderful, but we don't build halacha on the reason. The Torah said an Eved can get bored. Why do we bore the ear? We came up with beautiful svaras, but the Torah said it. So how do I know it doesn't apply to a number? Why would I use that svara to determine that? So I need a miyat. That's what I would have said. But Rabbi Chanan asked the kasha. This is what Rabbi Chanan said. I just thought I would share it.
When a person sells himself voluntarily, he needs some money, whatever it is, his ear is not bored. Only bored.
We had it back in your dollar on base. Can he marry a Shulchan Kananis? Number one. Number two is, can he stay longer than 6 years? We brought four things that is machloikas.
I'm asking, he doesn't get bored immediately.
Nobody gets bored immediately.
What's the difference if he's an Eved when he sells himself?
That's a great question, a wonderful question. And that's because the pashtus is because he's extending it. He's making it longer than he has to.
Because as far as the Torah gives that alternative. Both are there. You can sell yourself, and you can sell yourself for as an Eretz.
Again, you can sell yourself, and then you can maintain that sale later. That's a second. That's adding to your wrongdoing. That's Pashup Shat. The Torah punishes you for step two.
We're wrongdoing in the first place by selling yourself.
Correct.
So perhaps he's forfeiting his Hanukkah. The Torah tells us that even an Eretz gets that.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the Zogia, but yes. Something in my mind, Tan Eretz, about Nimkulai, but Kachavim.
One more question. As an Eved Ivri, he still has the same mitzvahs as before.
He's a regular Yid!
Right, so what did he give up? Why didn't Eved? He's still an Eved Hashem. Isn't he not? It's just the name is different now.
Well, who provided him with Parnassah?
Well, ultimately, Hashem.
Yeah, I know, but he decided that he's not going to go directly to Hashem.
Just takes a job, he doesn't.
It's not a job, the Eved. It's more than a job.
So I don't know what
it's he can't quit for 6 years. Every employee can quit.
Yeah.
He's locked in. Yes.
have das.
What, heaven?
Inevitably.
Yeah, it's das. 100%.
He finds him in Zia.
So, that might be because it's on his master's watch.
So when it says,
I don't mean he found the watch, yes.
So when it says, Nevin has no das.
It's Abakanani. By the way, Abakanani has das too. Doesn't have the ability because it belongs to the master. But it's not like a Kutton who has no das, or the Ishan has no das.
So when it says, for instance, that.
I'm sorry, each has das. Not like a cheresh right to the cotton who have no das. They have das. They have a kanani can be a shliach.
Absolutely correct. No, you're absolutely correct. But.
He's a complete 100% Jew. He can get maftar yayna. Now he can afford it. He has money in his bank. He's holding himself on every. He can buy maftar yayna. He can get psicha for nila. He can walk around. Whatever he wants, he can do. He just has to work for a master for 6 years.
Question is, certainty of autonomy. Now, he can work for a master as an employee.
Only for work. Nothing else. He makes his own kinyonim. No masha can have it, kind of rabbi. The only difference in him and the yin is he's allowed to be forced to live with the Shifra Kananis, according to one Mandiyamar. According to another Mandiyamar, by Chiratzma cannot live with the Shifra Kananis.
You're right, I'm wrong.
You can learn, right? You may be wanting to learn all 6 years.
No thing!
The owner buys
you
for that.
Yeah. Learn the base vendors. 9 to 5. Workers hours.
So if you buy an Eved Ivri and he learns 9 to 5, do you get a yisachar zvon relationship?
It might be, yeah. Don't think about it, right? Hanirtzev hanibkalai v'kacham ein Eved l'yisabem v'l'yisabas. Nirtzev d'chsev v'ratzad hanif asner b'matzeyat v'avadai l'yoylam. Because it says v'avad l'yoylam. What's v'avadai? L'yisabem v'l'yisabas. Because there's no other pasuk to tell us differently. Nibkalai v'kacham minayim. You make a cheshbon with the one who bought him. Kenehu means only the one that bought him, not his inheritors, regardless of whether they're male or female. Rashi, we did that already. MK, the location, we did that. No Rashi. That's the Gemara back. And the Gemara now gets off on a tangent. Amar Rava, Dvar Taira, biblically speaking, and a guy inherits his father. Inheritance is recognized biblically by the Torah, by non-Jews. Since we have an extra kinehu that tells me only him, not his yarshim, the cloud is la yarshim, must have yarshim. If not, you don't have to exclude them. It means the Torah recognizes the concept of inheritance by Guy. However, the Rishonim speak out that not necessarily does the Torah recognize son and then a daughter and then a brother. That's Torah law. Yerusha is a concept that exists by Guyim. How the Yerusha works, the Torah doesn't say how it works by Guyim. So theoretically, American law that makes girls even with boys would be a recognized thing if that's how they want to do the Yerusha. Yerusha works, meaning it's not Hefker. Relatives inherit. Now, how relatives inherit? That becomes, the Torah doesn't get involved in. By a yid, it does. By a guy, it just says it inherit.
Talk about Yerusha for Goyim, it's just for the sake of an Eved?
What do you mean?
We have to know what Goyim
is. Is it Hefker? Can I go take it?
In other words, but it's only by... That's the reason it's brought down over here, because...
We learned it now from the pasuk by Abba, but it's negay everything. Guy dies, he owns a house. Can I go take the house?
They have to make up their own laws.
Again. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He owns a house. He dies.
Under our rule.
Don't think about that.
What was everything about Dima,
Chamor?
Nothing to do with Yerusha. Adarabba. Now, why didn't bring a rye from here? And by God, you go bus a rye. How do you know it's his relative?
Rabbi.
The whole thing about the Chamor.
That's just the Gabi Yichus. Nothing to do with Yerusha. Yes, yes, Harvey.
Rabbi, for the Goyim living in Eretz Israel, so did they avail themselves only of the Jewish court system, or did they have their own independent system?
They did not have their own. When we were in charge, they did not have their own court system. We ruled them according to the rules of Ben Nayach.
So there was a whole separate jurisprudence for Ben Noach. We wouldn't apply all these details we're applying to ourselves. We would figure out when they had the same sort of disputes, other than the one we're looking at. We had a whole separate set of rulings based on Ben Noach.
Correct. Correct, and it made a big difference. If a guy in Eretz Yisrael served Avodah Zarah, and under our control, he's Chai Misa. We would kill him differently than we would kill a yid that served Avodah Zarah. You'd get skila, guy get sayev. All kinds of different halachas. A guy would have his arayas that he can't live with. A yid has a much greater number of arayas that they can't live with. It's a different halacha. He keeps Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Dayach, and we keep Tayag. Now, he lives in Eretz Yisrael. Why he lived in Eretz Yisrael? It's a great question. Maybe he likes to live in a Jewish neighborhood. I don't know. Crime is less. I don't know.
He's in Eretz Yisrael. We just said, the Rav just said that how the split works is based on the minig of the place.
I didn't say that. I said the way they decide. The Torah has no rules.
So if this boy's in Eretz Yisrael,
I don't know how they would figure it out. I don't. Yes.
It's not minig. It's no different from the laws of the United
States. No, but he wants to know in Eretz Yisrael. There are no laws for Goyim.
No,
he wants to know.
There is a court system with a law, just like there is in the United States.
Harvey asked me a question. Did the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael have their own court system?
No, they did not.
So then what court system did they follow by Yerusha? That was Menachem's question.
They followed the Jewish court system. There is a complete corpse.
So they had son inherited before his daughter by Goyim?
If you have a non-citizen who does certain things in the United States currently, they have different punishments, if a minor does something...
Again, it's avoiding the question. The guy died. His daughter wants 50%. In Jewish law, there's no such thing. In Goyish law, it depends where you are. Now, he's in Eretz Yisrael, where there is no Goyish law. He wants to know what happened. That was his question.
Is that the Jewish corpus of law, the law in the semi-autonomous state, which is under the rule of the Reish Galusa,
This is good in... No, yeah. In Bavel, you're right. I'm talking about in Eretz Yisrael, when the Yidden were in charge of the country. There was no Reish Galusa. There was the Sanhedrin, and it was a Beis HaMikdash. Everything was great and wonderful.
At that point, they had a corpus law, which
was decided
by...
Okay, I have no idea. I don't know.
Before this came up, actually, I was going to say, it's interesting. The Gemara uses elsewhere a proof of inheritance by Goyim from the Pasuk that I've given the land to...
Coming up. Okay. It's not elsewhere, it's here, but we didn't get there yet.
Well, it's got to be elsewhere because I haven't gotten beyond this
institution
in 7 years.
Well, the only other place is in Nazir, so I don't know whether you're there.
It's in
Nazir. Daf Samachalov, I don't know if you got there either, so...
I'm three daf ahead.
So you might be just there.
So I think that's the reason why I remember.
Tager, what happens if a guy's son is Megayer? So now, halakhically, he's not related to dad. So he does not inherit dad. He's not his son. But the Rabbanon went and created inheritance. They said that a ger can inherit his father, the guy. It's not. And we're going to prove it, that it's only rabbinic. Ger and a guy inherit their father. Mr. Guy died and left over one son that's a guy and one son that's a ger. Now, there's got a problem. That left over a lot of Avodah Zarah and worth a lot of money. A Yid's not allowed to have Avodah Zarah nor have pleasure from Avodah Zarah. Now, Dad died, and now there's an inheritance. Ger Yachol Oimer Leiv Kachom. The Ger can tell his biological brother, Tulat Avodah Kachom Bani Mos. You know what? You take the Avodah Zarah and I'll get money. Tulat the Yai Nesach. You take the Yai Nesach Bani Paris. What if he wakes up after they split it? They split it, he got half the Avodah Zarah, he said, oh, no, I can't do this now. Can I have money instead? Sir, because you're not allowed to sell Avodah Zarah or trade Avodah Zarah. Now, that works if it's rabbinic. If it's biblical, the moment Dad died, 50% belonged to the Ger. So he owned 50% of Avodah Zarah. So how can he trade it? Bishlam, you tell me biblically, he did not inherit his father. Really, only the guy inherited his father. But the Rabbanan gave him rights. So now, before he exercises his rabbinic rights, he can ask for something else. But if you learn it's biblical, then it happens automatically. That means the minute Dad died, bam, he became an owner of 50% of the Avodah Zarah. How can he trade it? Dr. Gemara, Why did Rabbanan decide to let a Ger inherit his guy? He's not a Yid, he's not a guy, he's not a son. Dr. Gemara, Gzeiruhu David Rabbanan, Shema Yagzer Adasurai. There's always a fear that the Ger might say, Judaism ain't worth it. Because look, my father just died. He had $10 million, and they're telling me I get nothing. Who needs Judaism? So therefore, we don't want to provide an Nisayon for the Ger. So we made a takana that he inherits his father. But it's only rabbinic, not biblical. Doesn't happen right away. It happens at collection time. And therefore, he can collect something else, not Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara Tanya Nami Hachi, Medvar Mamurim, Kishin Yarshu. When can he trade the Avodah Zarah for something else? At inheritance time. Avokashinishtatvu, Aser. But once they made the partnership, or once he took half of it, done, can't trade it. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Dvar Torah. But the Yitzchak Lamut Eved Ivri, since we had to exclude Eved Ivri. Mishabol Lushuzger Aser Lachlifam, Kamasani Misuri Hanah. If you would learn it to the right, the Kiloi Bo Nami, Michamai Sai Vikilchavim, as soon as the guy died, Zachar b'chatzor, he's in Zachar Nehav. V'ashto kamakslov lu, now he's changing it. Shemami no, hod the Yairish is of the Yairik and Chavim, lam b'ter Aizu. That which a guy inherits his father is not biblical. The Eina Mishyach HaSachar Yairik and Chavim. Once he became a Yid, he is not genealogically related, I don't know if that's the right word, genealogically, because he has the genes, but he is not genealogically related to his father. Okay, cut and shenar l'mel of dami, l'medrab anonu. So why did they make it? Money is a terrific Yetzahara, terrible Yetzahara. And it might make this Ger go off to D.
So the Rabbanan made it that he now inherits his father's Avodah Zarah?
No. They made it that he inherits whatever he gets his brother to give him. He's entitled to 50%, but he can pick what he doesn't want.
He can pick it ahead of time or after?
After his father died.
After the father died. It gives him the right to tell his Goyish brother, let's split it this way, my way.
Correct. But had it been Zeraisa, it happened the second the father died. He can't trade it anymore.
So it never came to his possession later.
Correct, that's what we're saying.
But the brother says no deal.
Then they fight it out. Have a duel. I don't know. Whatever way.
It's not like, did you win?
Well, and if he goes to court in Jewish Beth, he'll win. And if he goes to court in Sri Lanka, he'll lose.
Does Rabbanan extend to his brother who dies without children?
Doesn't say. No,
it's
no
Yibum. No, but Yerusha.
I would have seen why not. Money is money. They made it, so he shouldn't lose money by the fact that he became Jewish. Dr. Gemayabait. And Rabbanan continued. The Ger is a Ger. What happens if a father became a ger and he died? His son, the guy, wants 50%. Or 100% if there's no other Yairish. Not Yairish, it's Hefker.
Can you read that again?
I have a gechavim as a ger. A guy inheriting from a ger. Okay. Means dad was a ger and he died. Left over Geisha children. They do not inherit the father. And Geras Ager. Father and son inherit both of Megayer. And then the father died. Aina, loy medivre Tyra, but loy medivre Seifrim. Yes.
He just has, he has both, then the guy does get half, but if he's just a boy, he gets none.
I lost you on that one. Who died? Who what?
In the first case, it was not a ger. It was just a guy who had a ger and a...
No, a ger, but the last case, two cases here.
Not the case you just brought up. The case before, we had both a ger and a goy son. That was a goy?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a guy. Whereas if a ger dies, it's Hefker. He has no relatives, unless he had children after he became a yid.
And when a mother takes her baby with her, she'll be a dyer.
Yeah.
Means nothing.
Doesn't the child,
the
dyer, cousin,
his
mother?
He's okay. Give him a guy with his father, too, but it doesn't make a difference. He's still a gear.
There's no special law about a woman, about a mother.
Again, I'm trying to figure out nothing to do with Yerusha. He's still a gear. You want to know how he becomes Jewish?
He became Jewish as a baby when a mother...
So who cares? Was he born or was he a fetus?
But the mother had a right to make him...
So does the father. So does the father. Father can bring his young child also.
Oh, so the, in other words, mother's baby grows up, comes 13, he has to be Megayer again?
He has to accept the original Gairus, whatever happens for every care cousin.
There's no kind of for the...
No, because there's no Shemi Yamzad ever Lusura, because if he becomes a guy, he's still not going to get the money. There's no reason for him to go off the D. He's not getting the money. Remember, it's a Jewish court system. The Ger died, his son is the Ger, comes for the money, Bezin tells him you're not entitled. So he says, I'll go off the D. You won't get the money anyway. No use threatening.
What is that?
Off the derech, off surah, turn away. To off the path. We would say in modern language, off the deep. Fine. Rashi, I've become a sagerish in his gairo av, a gairo sagerish av of nation in his gairo, a father and his son that were megayer. Now here comes the next line, and that we're going to get into tomorrow, but I just figured I'd have a little shock. It's not. Love a Muslim and a Gerish and his guy, Rabban of Imai, if he borrowed money from a Ger who came a Ger together with his children, then the Ger died, don't give it back to his children. And if you give it back, Rabban are not happy with you. They don't want you to give it back. Why? We'll see tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful day.